WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Accra or anytime at WGXC.org.
This is Mitch McConnell when I'm up in the Catskills to go hunt bear and visit my friends in the Greene County Legislature. I always tune into WGXC. I love that weird show, the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, but it's not on very often. What a bunch of crazy Yankees up there. Where's that station again? Oh, now, remember, it's at 90.7 FM on the dial in my Lexus. I wish we had something like that in Kentucky. Don't forget to vote, y'all.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Adam Weinert of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Variety says this one won't miss. Awesome beyond description.
The most extraordinary output ever to emerge from the motion picture studio.
It cost $4 million and it has 4 million thrills.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Bill Mahoney reports at Politico that several candidates have filed to be on the ballot in June for the Democrats' primary election for governor. Incumbent Kathy Hochul, New York City public advocate Jamani Williams, and Long Island Representative Tom Soese filed more than enough signatures. Paul Nichols said earlier this week that he planned to file enough but did not have the evidence April 7th. And Vladimir Joseph and Agham Mohammed Salah submitted petitions but nowhere near the number of required signatures to get on the ballot. Former Governor Andrew Cuomo did not submit a petition. Republican Representative Lee Zeldin got his ballot spot with the party's endorsement at his party convention in March. Business person Harry Wilson and former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino both delivered more signatures than required. Former New York City first son Andrew Giuliani filed to run, though did not share signatures with the media on deadline day. Forest Hills resident Derek Gibson also submitted petitions. Election officials now need to verify those signatures. And you can read more about this story at Politico. Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper about the push and pull of solar energy options locally at a Kinderhook town meeting. Some folks want more solar energy panels in many places to save the planet from the current climate change, and others don't want to lose their viewshed or more farmland. At the April 4th Kinderhook board meeting, there was talk both of the community solar program the board agreed to join in February, and from one resident about how the town's proposed solar law would gobble up too much farmland. A representative from Neighborhood Sun, one of the two companies approved by the county for a community solar program, spoke at the meeting explaining how community solar allows residential and commercial electrical customers to subscribe to an off-site solar project. To sign up for the program, there is a link on the WGXC Newsroom webpage. Kinderhook resident Karen Watt also spoke at the meeting. She said, and I quote, "When solar companies choose prime farmland and non-viable or retired agricultural locations, this creates concern," end quote. Asking the board to, and I quote, "carefully evaluate the location of these commercial facilities," end quote. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Mid-Hudson News reports that Bard College has been studying Kingston's air quality, and it could be better. Bard Assistant Professor of Environmental and Urban Studies and Director of the Center for Environment, Science, and Humanities said Bard's air monitor was installed on the roof of the Andy Murphy Neighborhood Center on Broadway just before the COVID-19 pandemic began. He said, and I quote, "There were observed reductions in air pollution during some parts of the COVID shutdown, but the reality is the cars are still going, and in a place like Kingston, we still needed to heat our homes with oil and gas heat, and we also have in Kingston a growing and concerning number of wood-burning establishments, both restaurants and in people's homes," end quote. In 2021, the American Lung Association gave Dutchess County's air quality a grade of D for high ozone days. High ozone days occur when pollution and weather create dangerously higher levels of ozone that can be harmful. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
No fooling. On April 1st, scientists from NASA revealed the first audio recordings from the surface of the planet Mars. They didn't hear much except some occasional gusts of wind and their own Perseverance rover, but they did discover something very interesting. Two different speeds of sound on the planet Mars. There is a shoebox-sized supercam on the Perseverance rover on the surface of Mars that has a microphone, and radio waves have been beaming back the signals to Earth. All scientists heard mostly is the sound of wind and a clack-clack sound of the Perseverance rover rolling over rocks and other materials. The study confirmed for the first time that the speed of sound is slower on Mars, traveling at 240 meters per second compared to Earth's 340 meters per second. That had been expected because Mars' atmosphere is 95% carbon dioxide, while Earth is only 0.04% carbon dioxide, about 100 times thinner, making sound 20 decibels weaker. But then scientists were surprised by a second sound that traveled at 250 meters a second, 10 meters faster. Quote, I panicked a little, one of the scientists said. Quote, I told myself that one of the two measurements was wrong because on Earth you only have one speed of sound, unquote. But on Mars you have two, one speed of sound for high-pitched sounds and another for lower frequencies. Human hearers would hear the high-pitched sounds slightly earlier. Quote, on Earth the sounds from an orchestra reach you at the same speed, whether they are low or high. But imagine on Mars, if you are a little farther from the stage, there will be a big delay, unquote. Silvestri Maris, the sound study's main author, said, quote, all these factors would make it difficult for two people to have a conversation only 5 meters apart, unquote, the French scientist said in a statement. Here is a sampling of the sound on the surface of the planet Mars.
And now here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Saturday, the April showers continue. Showers are likely before 1 p.m., then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 5 p.m. It will be a mostly cloudy Saturday with a temperature high near 52 degrees. A chance of more showers are expected on Saturday night before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 35. And on Sunday, isolated showers after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 48 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 34 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXE 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXE sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXE believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXE is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm based in Accra, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to Transmission Art and Experimental Sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
All the candlelights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part. We know every card by heart. All the candlelights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy that took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Thank you. You gotta try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Thank you.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Margaret Hartman reports for New York Magazine that 66 people sent complaints to the Federal Communications Commission regarding ABC's telecast of the Oscars, which included a physical and verbal attack by actor Will Smith on comedian Chris Rock.
Oh, wow! Wow!
Those complaining said they were, quote, traumatized, unquote, quote, offended, unquote, quote, triggered, unquote, and, quote, shaken, unquote, by the attack. Quote, I haven't been able to sleep as a result. My child was also scared. I had to take medicine to calm me down, unquote. One anonymous viewer wrote to the FCC. Quote, I thought your agency was supposed to keep this type of violence and cursing off television. I hope you can bring sense and reason back to the public airways, unquote. Another wrote. ABC did keep Smith's profanity off the airwaves, cutting to silence while viewers in Japan and Australia heard the entire encounter. After the 2004 Super Bowl, where Janet Jackson's nipple was exposed at halftime, the FCC received 540,000 complaints. Tom Vernon reports for Radio World that AM and FM radio stations are still the number one sounds in cars. The Infinite Dial 2022's survey of in-car media listening found 73% of people listen to the radio in their cars, while 53% listen to their own digital music or sounds, 35% use a CD player, 32% listen to online audio or subscribable audio, and 22% listen to satellite radio. The AM/FM listening numbers fell sharply during the pandemic, from 81% in 2020 to 75% in 2021. At home, though, 39% of those surveyed say they do not have a radio. And that grows to 57% for those ages 12 to 34. Edison Research conducted the National Telephone Survey of 1,502 people aged 12 and older using random digital dialing techniques to both cell phones and landlines in January 2022. Read more about this story at Radio World. Inside Radio reports that it is 5 months since President Joe Biden nominated Gigi Sohn for the fifth commissioner seat on the Federal Communications Commission. Republicans have blocked the nomination so far, with a Senate Commerce Committee vote last month tied 14-14. That leaves the FCC commissioners in a 2-2 deadlock, meaning little can be done in the radio regulator's office. Democrats need a motion to discharge from the Senate Majority Leader in order to have a vote scheduled in the full body. Then all 50 Democrats would have to be present to get a 50-50 vote, which Vice President Kamala Harris could break. But Democrats are more concerned now about Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson than Sohn. Republicans oppose Sohn's positions on broadband net neutrality. Sohn favors making sure Amazon and Google get the same bandwidth as someone else's personal website, an even playing field for all. They also say her past work for the now-closed television streaming service Locast should disqualify her from becoming an FCC commissioner. Sohn has said she would recuse herself from matters involving retransmission consent or television broadcast copyright for the first 3 years of her term. Quote, why on earth should we choose a commissioner who would have to recuse herself from participating in substantial parts of the FCC's work? How does it serve Americans to have an FCC commissioner who can't fully do her job, unquote, said Republican South Dakota Senator John Thune. Quote, surely there are other qualified nominees who don't have Ms. Sohn's conflict of interest, unquote. The Media and Democracy Project, a progressive lobbying group, says, quote, she represents a tie-breaking fifth vote at an FCC that must create a more just, equitable, and diverse media system, unquote, claiming media companies of, quote, trying to undermine, unquote, her nomination to avoid regulation. Read more about this story at Inside Radio. Free speech seems like an endangered concept these days. The right wants to stop teachers from talking about many subjects with students and ban books they do not agree with. The left is trying to quash a growing trend of racist political speech. Neither side is happy, and radio hosts who talk for a living are being fired for what they say. There are two recent radio firings in the news. Last week, a radio host in Kazakhstan was fired after she wrote on Facebook, quote, we will call in Uncle Vova if you talk too much, unquote. Uncle Vova is Russian leader Vladimir Putin, who has ordered an invasion of Ukraine, complete with mounting cases of war crimes and horrific attacks against civilians. Kazakhstan shares a large border with Russia and partners with the country on many economic issues. The Europa Plus Kazakhstan radio station fired host Lubov Panava after the comment. With a large Russian population and rumors that Russia could invade Kazakhstan, any talk about Putin there is bound to be controversial, and it is understandable why a host supporting Putin might cause a radio station to let them go. In the United States, that's not the case, as Tucker Carlson almost nightly says things in support of Putin on Fox News. WMAL near Washington, D.C., fired a host last week for posting a photo of Vice President Kamala Harris wearing the color brown in a tweet that read, quote, Kamala looks like a UPS employee. What can brown do for you? Nothing good, apparently, unquote. Right-wing commentators have decried the decision as against the First Amendment, which is silly since the government did not fire the host, and businesses can fire people in this country for what they post on social media. Amber Athey, the host, said owners of the station Cumulus Media told her the tweet was racist when they let her go. But she might have been fired for more than just one tweet. The New York Post reports that after the UPS tweet, Athey, quote, spoke critically of protests in favor of trans kids at the University of North Texas, and as she wrote, quote, a group of maniacal left-wing activists who want to chemically castrate children in the name of gender affirmation came after me, unquote. Cumulus Media officials have yet to talk about the issue in the media. Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine is not just a war of people and weapons, but of radio waves. In early February, Russia began bombing TV towers and attacking internet services. Then a major story in the war was that Russian troops were using unencrypted signals to communicate. Here's an excerpt of a New York Times report on intercepting Russian war transmissions.
Необходимо просто навестись в этом направлении.
What you're hearing are real-time battlefield communications between rank-and-file units on the front lines. They reveal a Russian military early on, already facing major challenges to get air support and fuel, and even possibly committing war crimes. It's not clear why some Russian military units are using unencrypted frequencies. But what it means is that people with access to a radio receiver can listen in and record their conversations, or interfere. We collected hundreds of recordings like these, painstakingly captured by ham radio operators and open source groups across the world.
On April 7th, Der Spiegel magazine reported that German intelligence intercepted radio exchanges between Russian soldiers who discussed killing civilians outside Kyiv, possible further evidence of Russian war crimes. In one conversation recorded by the Germans, a Russian soldier claims he shot and killed a cyclist. In another, a Russian soldier can be heard saying that bystanders should initially be questioned, then shot. And the information war is also taking place outside of Ukraine. British Broadcasting Corporation in early March restarted broadcasts on two shortwave radio frequencies, 15735 kHz and 5875 kHz, with their own World Service news in English that can be received clearly in Kyiv and parts of Russia. The BBC had stopped broadcasting to Europe on shortwave frequencies in 2008. Now, though, the BBC's Russian language news website's weekly audience has more than tripled since the invasion began, with a record 10.7 million people in early March compared to a usual average of 3.1 million. Radio Miami International is also beaming all sorts of signals into the conflict, providing news that is not allowed to be heard otherwise in Russia and may be difficult to receive otherwise with the infrastructure damage in Ukraine. WTWW in Lubbock, Texas is also beaming music and information into the area. Quote, I got a friend in the Ukraine that I've been emailing back and forth with and corresponding with, and he loves Creedence Clearwater Revival, unquote, said Dan Collins from the station. Quote, he loves it. I mean, he's a big fan. It's just kind of cool to be able to entertain the folks and also put some things in that they may not know. We have listeners in Russia. They don't get the truth. They'll never get the truth, but they can't stop us. That's the beauty of it, unquote. Matt Schutel reports in the Washington Post that Bill Fries, an advertising executive with a unique history in one form of radio, died from cancer at the age of 93 on April 1st. Under his stage name, C.W. McCall, Fries hit number one on the pop charts in 1976 with the song Convoy, the most famous musical ode to Citizens Band Radio. Fries first created the character C.W. McCall as a truck driver in a series of commercials for a Midwestern bread company. Then he had top 20 country hits with, quote, Old Home, Fill Her Up, and Keep On Truckin' Cafe, and Wolf Creek Pass, both songs about truck driving. Then his song Convoy, an odd ode to breaking the law on the nation's highways told through CB radio, knocked the Bay City Rollers' Saturday Night off the top of the Billboard pop chart in January 1976. The song was a CB radio conversation between Rubber Duck and Pigpen, the CB radio handles of two truckers, and filled with the lingo and code words of citizens' band radio of the era. Quote, it was timely, unquote, Freeze told the Associated Press in 1990. Quote, back in 1975-76, that craze was sweeping the country. The jargon was colorful, and the American public liked that, too. It was laced with humor, but it had a rebellious feeling about it, and people responded to it, unquote. Convoy sold about 7 million copies and inspired Sam Peckinpah's 1978 film of the same name, starring Kris Kristofferson. Quote, well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we gonna back on out of here, unquote, C.W. McCall says at the end of Convoy, with a slight alteration of a trucker's farewell, quote, keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail, unquote. Read more about this story in the Washington Post, and here is C.W. McCall's Convoy.
Breaker 1-9, this here's a Rubber Duck. You got a copy on me, Pigpen, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Pigpen, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Pigpen. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a Rubber Duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Back off them hogs. 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we got great big
Negatory, Pigpen, you're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, Rubber Duck to Sodbuster, come on there. Yeah, 10-4, Sodbuster, listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a Rubber Duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
This has been the WGXC Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.
This is Hudson Mohawk Magazine reporter Kaylin McPherson. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Joseph Orozco, member of the Hoopa Valley Tribe. Currently, I'm the lead producer of KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio in Hoopa, California.
Can you explain a little bit about that radio station?
We are in our 41st year, started in 1980, as a non-commercial educational FM. We cover, our coverage is mainly the reservation here. Our antenna is located 1,550 feet below the height of the average terrain. So we are in the bottom of a valley. The mountains surrounding us, we have maybe a mile between them. That's a kind of a medium-sized valley, but the mountain ranges kind of keep our signal from going too far. And we would have liked to have put our tower up on a mountaintop, but we didn't have the funds to do that at the time. And then another station out of Oregon start creating a empire of translators sites and relay stations and ended up boxing us in. So we serve mainly the valley floor, and we are on the internet off our website. We have a listen now button there, and people can listen to us wherever they're at in the world.
What is your experience in radio?
What's my experience in radio is KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. It's the only radio station I've ever worked in. I was on the original board of directors that signed the papers and got the station built. I'm not one of the authors of those original set of papers. I came in after that was already submitted. Just helped build a station, fund the station, and then I took over, and we signed on the air in 1980, and I took over the management in 1988.
So for our listeners, can you explain what native media is?
What native media is media, in our case, radio, FM, licensed by the Federal Communication Commission to a native tribe. Ours is licensed to the Hoopa Valley tribal members 18 years of age and older. So we created, in the very beginning, a nonprofit board of directors called the Hoopa Valley Telecommunications Corporation, and the first project was KIDE. KIDE is spelled, well, KIDE. It's a Hoopa word. It's pronounced K'day. A lot of people see our call letters and call us Kide. No, it's K'day. It means an antler taken off the deer and used as a tool, or it's decorated. K'day.
Wow.
When it's still on the deer, it's called Met'day, his antler. So native media is what we try to do with our station. What I've been trying to do is bring in news and information that we don't normally hear. We get a lot of commercial radio and television. Well, one commercial television station, one PBS station, and a lot of commercial radio and commercial news. So a lot is not covered that actually is related to our situations. So, and then there's still a lot of coverage that is not brought into the community from the outside world. There's always more of a conservative slant to what reaches us. So what I tried to do in the very beginning was to provide more of a progressive information, programming from Pacifica Networks and other independent news producers, get the other side of the story.
How do we bring more native media, more native stories to more people, do you think?
Start the same way we ended up having native radio stations. Congress got behind it. I've been saying this for decades. We need to have in our rights of in our trust responsibilities of the federal government, when they took over our land and then they said, okay, you got these reservations, this is reserved for you, we're not taking it, but we're going to govern it. And so then they gave us water rights and fishing rights and education rights and human services and those types of things that we all need as a community, but they did not restore our communication rights. And we had no idea when we signed treaties or when all this stuff was being done to think that, you know, one day we might have a radio. We might be communicating electronically and broadcasting, and we just didn't see that. They didn't see it either. And then when Marconi created the, and other people did radio, and then that caught on that, wow, here's a new technology. It's far better than the telegraph. We could send human voices in real time. And that caught on like wildfire. And when those radio stations realized that they could sell their airtime to corporations and companies to sell their products and create commercials, then the big money start rolling in. So then when all that was developed at that time, the FCC was created and start coming up with regulations of where you place antennas, and they did the contour maps and all these things. And it was all done without any consultation to tribes. We were not at the table. We didn't say, wait a minute, we have this reserve here. This was all our land, and now you're taking control of all this land and making huge profits on it. And we're getting pennies on a dollar for anything that you take out of here for our resources. And we also should own the airspace so that if you want to bring your signals, your commercials into us, there should be some kind of a tariff on us that come across our lands and reach our homes and inundate us with all of this commercialism. So I think the federal government, Canadian government also, should have to do some reparation about this and start saying, we made a mistake. What we need to be allowed to do is be able to communicate. And then we need to have a push within each tribe, within each Native community, because some Native communities are not readily recognized. So what do we do about that? They're still Native people. There's no way just because the federal government doesn't recognize them doesn't mean they're not. I mean,
right.
We have that right to identify ourselves. So if you don't have a reserve, you don't have a federal status, does not mean you should be omitted of having the right to communicate. And that should be funded through Congress, the same way as Congress helps fund other corporations and give them tax breaks and all this other shenanigans that are done to keep those in power. Well, that's my answer to that question. That's what it will take. And the people, the Native people in every community have to push their young people and their members or their citizens into looking into media as a viable career choice, because we don't right now. You ask any group of adults in your community, how many of you have promoted and told your child to become a journalist or a communicator, go after that career? I have yet to see one person raise their hand. So that in our area, what we noticed when we had this public school system here, it was all the teachers were white. There was no Native teachers. And all of our Native students, children, went to this school and were being taught by these non-native people. So they said, that's wrong. So they went to this local university, or Humboldt State University, and they got them to create a completely different education wing that was called the ITEP, the Indian Teachers Education Personnel Program, to teach Native people how to be teachers. And this has been going on a long time, 30, 40 years. We now have more Native teachers in our schools, and we have more Native administrators in our school district. We have yet to get a superintendent, but we've got principals, and we got counselors, and we got teachers. That's the same type of thing, that same kind of movement has to happen with media.
This has been Kalen for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I've been talking with Joseph Orozco of KIDE. This is part one of a two-part interview I did with him. For more information, mediasanctuary.org. And if you want to learn more about this topic, there is a book called Signal in the Air, Native Broadcasting in America by Ray Cook.
Seagull on a marble stair. Trying to find the ocean. Looking everywhere. Hard times in the city. In a hard town. Nowhere to run to. There ain't nothing here for free. Look on the corner, waiting for a train. Drunk, lying on the sidewalk. In the rain, and the people hide their faces, and they hide their eyes. Cause the city's dying, and they don't.
was it good?